Okay, it's 8 o'clock, so let's get started. We're going to go through two shailas that I received recently, and you'll tell me which one of the shailas you're interested in discussing. The first one came in on Chol HaMoed, and the shaila went as follows. I'm just going to read the emails directly, the emails that I received. Good Moed, I will try to make this as short as possible. Emir Tzashem, we plan to make a bris this Shabbos. We are struggling to find a name for this baby. I would have loved to name after Rav Meir Shapiro, as my day is based around the Daf Yomi. However, by the way, Rav Meir Shapiro is right there on my wall, is one of the pictures. My day is based around the Daf Yomi. However, my name is Meir, and his second name, Yehuda, is the name of my younger son. My younger son. I'm not sure if there's another name that could be given to keep this concept. Additionally, we've been thinking of naming something like Raphael due to the coronavirus. However, we're concerned that it's more of a depressing time and not appropriate for a child. All grandfathers have been named after already. Should we prioritize a relative, even if it's a great uncle, a Talmud Chacham, or something more positive for coronavirus? There are no boy names we particularly love as well. The only thing I can think of is maybe Akiva, as this possibly could incorporate the famous Gemara of Rabbi Akiva with the Daf, Svira, and Akiva Nichamtanu. If the Rav has any time for thoughts, it would be appreciated. I'm sure you're busy and need to your time, to your community and shul, there's some type of there. Thank you and good yantav. Okay, so that was shaila number one. Essentially, you have a baby boy in a crazy time like this, and you don't have any obvious relatives to name after, so what should one do? What's the appropriate way to go about naming such a child? A second shaila that I got recently, again, I'll just read the email. Rabbi Leibowitz, sorry to bother you, but I've listened to many of your shiurim on Wayu Torah, and under the recent situation, it has become evident that you've taken a very strong position on halachic issues related to corona. I agree with you across the board. I understand that you believe that porch minyanim and other such gatherings are usur, and that people who arrange and or participate in them are acting very inappropriately, to put it mildly, and that one may report such activity to the authorities, as I understand it, initially to a local rav or other community leader, v'chulei. What if the local rav, who is an upstanding person and rav, and in fact you yourself have quoted him on a number of occasions and have said very nice things about him, has given a haskama to such a minyan and even davens at such a minyan? So I guess his shaila is, and in follow-up emails he explained, his question is, how do you relate to such a rav? Is he still your rabbi? You just don't listen to him about this issue? Or is such a person, does he apostle himself from being a rabbi? Do you call your authorities, the authorities on him, even though he's your rav? He's your das Torah, for lack of a better term. So this is a painful question, but it is unfortunately not a rare question, meaning it's come up a few times with different people in our neighborhood. So those are the two shaila. Shaila number one about giving a maybe we can, how are we going to vote on this? In the chat, or you just maybe just do a thumbs up. Someone's putting in the chat already. Let's see. Natan already voted for number two. Rabbi Farber voted for number two. So do we want to discuss number one, the shaila? Okay, number two. Okay. So I guess that's pretty clear. That seems fairly unanimous. At least for those who know how to use the chat feature, it's fairly unanimous. So we're gonna go with the second shaila. This is a complicated issue. I think there are really two issues over here. At least two issues, but let's break it down to two issues. One issue that we have over here is that we have to figure out, is this considered a blatant violation of halacha? Meaning, if you see a rabbi that you otherwise respect do something that is a blatant violation of halacha, that clearly goes against Jewish teaching, then that's it. He is no longer a rabbi. If he becomes a mechallel Shabbos, for instance, or if he becomes a mechallel Shabbos, for instance, or lo aleinu, or if he I'm just going to mute everyone. If he becomes a Mechal Shabbos, or if he starts doing other Averos that are very clearly and obviously Averos, so there's no question that would disqualify him, no matter how much Torah that you learned from him. There's no question you would not seek further Torah from such a person, nor would you treat him with the same respect that you would normally treat a Rav, a Mora Hara'a, or anything like that. Of course, we love every Jew and we want to be makariv them to Torah. But so the first question is this considered to be something that is a clear and obvious significant avera? Meaning, after all, if someone violates something that's so clearly pikuach nefesh, then if someone were to murder, let's say, so that would be a very clear and significant avera. So does this fall in that category? So that's one issue to be dealt with. A second issue to be dealt with, and this is the one that we're going to deal with first. Let's assume not that way, because the first one is if we assume that it is a clear violation of Torah, there's nothing to talk about. But let's assume it's not a clear and obvious violation of Torah, at least in that person's mind. Let's assume that it's a judgment call. And the person made just what we can agree, at least probably in this company, is very, very poor judgment. The person exercised extremely poor judgment. Well-meaning, really thinking that he's serving Hashem, but likely, or possibly at least, costing lives, either directly or by example, by others saying, oh, okay, if it's okay for them to go against whatever the 57 rabbis who signed the letter, Rosh Yeshiva and Gedolei Torah in the community, who signed a letter saying that this should not be done, but someone else will say, well, if it's okay for that person, then it's okay for me, and not everyone is in the same situation, not everyone's going to take the same care. So that is a judgment call that exercises extremely poor judgment. What does that do to a person? Is that the same as doing a clear-cut avera as far as his credentials as a posek, as far as his credentials as a Talmud Chacham, as a Mora Hara'a in a community? So as I said, we're going to do the second question first. And I think there are two ways to look at this. One way is that, it's a clear violation of halacha, like we said, but the more obvious is that there's no clear and direct threat to human life in this particular gathering. Meaning he'll be able to point to you that, look, we're 20 feet apart from each other, we're 10 feet apart, whatever it is, we're practicing social distancing, we're doing, we're a lot further apart from each other than the law requires in the outdoors. So we're doing everything with social distancing, and people have all sorts of cheshbonos. They start thinking, well, they do this in Israel. In Israel, it's now legal and even encouraged, and we're very happy that they're able to start lifting some of the restrictions in Israel. Although Mori Virabi, Rav Asher Weiss, is very nervous about the lifting of restrictions in Eretz Yisrael, and very nervous about it being possibly too soon. But okay, but someone could make a cheshbon that Israel has handled this properly so far. Statistically, there's no doubt that Israel has handled this properly so far. When you consider the number of Jews in the New York area and the number of Jews in the state of Israel, and you consider the numbers, it is astonishing, absolutely astonishing, the difference, the discrepancy between the numbers. So you say, oh, if they're doing it in Israel, so it must be safe, so I can do it over here as well. Or as I heard one rabbi say, maybe having these minyanim will cost a life. It might be, but how many lives will it save? I mean, we're going to be davening with such a slavus, we're going to be keeping the world going, we're going to save dozens of lives by having these minyanim. So as off as that cheshbon seems to me to be, such a person might have such a cheshbon. A person might have such a cheshbon. Meaning, imagine if someone told you that for a couple of days there's going to be someone that shoots every 20th person that walks into shul in the head. It's just going to kill, murder in cold blood every 20th person that walks into shul. So would you say, well, let's get the minion together, because what keeps the other 19 alive is the tefillah, or do you say, no, that's why Hashem gave us the Torah. That's why He gave us halacha. He gave us halacha so that we can observe the halacha. And there's such a thing called pikuach nefesh, and a suffix pikuach nefesh is docha everything, including tefillah b'tzibur. So as much as we believe in the power of tefillah, and we do, we really, really do believe in the power of tefillah, but we believe in the power of Hashem. We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah to express His ratzon, and that we have to observe what the ratzon of the Ribbono Shalom is. You know, there's a beautiful story that Rabbi Brown Shlita from Far Rockaway told recently. Rabbi Brown, who is, you know, in, for those who are not from the Five Towns Far Rockaway community, and sometimes even from those who are, you may not know who the big players are over here in terms of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim in our neighborhood. There are three particular Jews in Far Rockaway that are just viewed as like Mishichmo Lamaila from everybody else in terms of their Torah scholarship, in terms of their godless in Torah. Rav Naftali Yeager, the Rashiva of Shayashev, Rav Binyamin Forst, who has a kolel and has written many Sfarim for Art Scroll and is just an outstanding posek in Talmud Chacham, and Rav Moshe Brown. Rav Moshe Brown is probably the greatest Talmud Chacham that Yeshivas Neri Yisrael ever produced. Maybe Rav Tzvi, is they're in the same league. So an unusual gadol b'Torah. And Rabbi Brown said that he had a friend who lives in Baltimore. Rabbi Brown is a Talmud Neri Yisrael, like I said, he has a friend who lives in Baltimore who hadn't missed a minyan in 35 years. Try to internalize what that is. Hasn't missed a minyan in 35 years. And when the shuls in Baltimore shut down, Rabbi Brown called him up to give him some chizik. And he called him, he said, how you doing? And the guy said, I'm okay, I'm healthy, I'm fine. And he said, you're okay? He said, yeah, why wouldn't I be okay? He said, because you haven't missed a minyan in 35 years. And they just shut down the shuls. And the fellow said, you think I've been going to minyan because I'm trying to keep some sort of streak alive? You think I was going to minyan because it makes me feel good that I haven't missed a minyan? I go to minyan because that's the Ratzon Hashem. And now the Ratzon Hashem is that I don't go to minyan. So it's the same avoda. I mean, he didn't see it as a discrepancy at all. There wasn't a hint of disappointment in his voice. Because a person can view things broadly and see things the way that they are meant to be seen. That we're here to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. But anyway, so people could have messed up judgments, but that's, and at the very least, this is a very big error in judgment, to the point that it makes you question the person's ability to assess things fairly on any level. So one thing I tell the person right away is, whether you respect him as a Rav, as a Talmud Chacham, as anything else, not as a Posek. You can't go for Psak Halacha to someone who, because Psak Halacha very often involves making judgment calls and being able to have a certain amount of common sense, what we call like a chush for Psak, a feel for the situation, and to be able to assess the situation. You know, when you hear people like Moreno Rav Asher Weiss speak about the realities of the time, even when he doesn't say a word of Torah, it gives you the impression that if this man were to, chas v'shalom, forget all of his Torah in a day, he would still be one of the wisest men you know. Meaning, there's just a chush, there's a feeling for situations, and for how people work, and for there's just something there that's uncommon. And that's what separates Gedolei HaPoskim from, more than scholarship, that's what separates Gedolei HaPoskim from everybody else. But when someone has the opposite of that, a chush for always getting it wrong, and there are people like this, that sometimes know a lot, they're big bekiyim, and they know a lot, but they just have a feel to always get things wrong, to come down on the wrong side of every issue. So when someone has a chush like that, so then you know that, you know, to trust their bekiyus is fantastic, and maybe learn from their bekiyus, but if they have a chush like that, then you can't go to them for psak halacha. But it might be more than that, because it's not only a lack of chush for psak, but it's also an overt act of gaiva in a certain sense. Because here are people telling you that we know that people should not be davening, some of them have said explicitly, we know that people should not be davening with a minyan, but that's for everybody else. For me, it's got to be different. That my tefillah b'tzibur matters more. I'm allowed to take precedence over everyone else. And such an overt act of gaiva, because the person believes themselves to be more deserving of davening with a minyan than anyone else, may be a psul in midos. not only in the sense of judgment, of just exercising such poor judgment, but it might be psul in midos. There is a fascinating discussion in general. Is there, meaning, let's say there was a place where a minyan was encouraged and viewed as not dangerous and perfectly legal, but you can only have 10 Jews doing it. Let's imagine there was such a thing. Like, for example, it's probably not so far-fetched to imagine that when our shuls open up again, it should be bekarov, it should be soon when things are healthy and when it's safe to do so, and hopefully it will be safe to do so sooner rather than later. We daven every day that should be the case. But it's not so far-fetched to assume that when that happens, there will be a limit on the numbers of people allowed in the building. First, it's going to be outdoor minyanim, and then it's going to be, you know, it's going to happen gradually. And if we're going to say that in a space of X number of feet by X number of feet, you can only have, you know, X number of people, how do you prioritize that? Do you say that, you know, who am I? I'm just a simple Jew. Let the Talmidei Chachamim, let the Gedolei Torah, let them daven with the minyan. Do you say, what do you mean? I have the same chiyuv of Tefillah B'Tzimra that they have. So why should I be mevater on my chiyuv just for them? Just because they're good at other things and they're greater Jews? I want to be a better Jew. That's why I want to go to minyan. So is there such an inyan to be mevater for Gedolei Talmidei Chachamim? This is an old shaila, really. Not in the context of minyan, but it's a shaila in the context of you have the most mehudadika esrog you can find, the most mehudadika esrog on earth. So do you give it to the Rebbe because he doesn't have as nice of an esrog? Or do you say, I have the same mitzvah of esrog that he's got, so, you know, let me keep the mehudadika esrog. He wants to borrow it one day after? Okay, fine, but this is my esrog and I'm going to keep it. So there's a fascinating discussion in Poskim about this. The Tzvua Shor thinks that, that writes that you can honor a rabbi or someone who's a great Talmud Chacham with such a mitzvah, even at the expense of your own mitzvah. However, the author of Chayei Adam in Binas Adam, Shar Isser Veheter, Simin Zayin, my brother quotes this in volume 2 of his Sefer Nasiach B'chukecha, writes that Masha Kasav B'tvur Shar, the B'derech Kavod Mutter, Kedei Shetei Osa Mitzvah B'Gedolim. This idea that the Tvur Shar says that, like, Gedolim get to do the mitzvah rather than regular people, Davarzeh Lo Shamayim. Manu. Even in those circumstances where we say that you're allowed to sin in order that other people should benefit, that just means you could do a small avera so that the other person won't violate a terribly big avera. But that I'm going to bypass my mitzvah so that I can hand it off to somebody else? We never heard such a thing, says the Binas Adam. And he says, I, the Tzvua Shor, is a raya from the Gemara in the first parak of Sota, that the Bnei Yosef allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to be Osek in the Atzmos Yosef. And they said, you know, let Moshe Rabbeinu handle the bones of Yosef, because kvodo b'gedolim. So isn't that a raya that you would honor a gadol for such things? He said, nah, zed dafka lin kvuras meis. That's when it comes to kvuras meis, because the Gemara dafka makes a point of saying that it's a greater honor to have greater people be osek in your kvura. Well, this may be instructive, because even the Chacham Asadim admits that it is worthwhile to give up the mitzvah of halana samei, of halvaya sameis, in order to allow greater people to be osek in it. Because the whole point of kvura, of being malavid the meis and being osek in the kvura, is to give kavod to the person who's being buried. So nowadays, where you have rules, very strict rules at cemeteries, where the cemeteries in New Jersey are allowing, or some of them at least, a maximum of 3 people. In New York, the ones that I've been involved with have allowed a minyan with safe distancing. But that's it. So you got to have a list in advance of who's going to be allowed to come and who's not going to be allowed to come. So dafka on such an issue, if there aren't too many immediate family members and there's still some open slots, so you might want to open those slots to the greatest people first, because of that kavod that's involved with it. And then the Bina Sadam writes, V'tama latzmecha, he says, it can't be that you would honor somebody with a mitzvah, someone who's greater than you. Im yele echad shofar v'lulav v'adam chashav v'makom achar she'en lo. If you had a shofar or a lulav and there was an adam chashav someone else that didn't, v'chinomar kvodu v'gadol, would you say that you give it to the gadol? So the answer is, a lot of people say, yeah. But the Chachmas Adam said, what do you mean? That's ridiculous. You can't ever say such a thing. Obviously, the Torah Shor disagrees. If I recall, Rav Asher Weiss also disagrees and thinks that, like by the Esrog with the Chassidish Rebbe, you're also being mekayim a mitzvah of Kavod Tamidei Chachamim. So that also plays into it. But there is a hashkafic question over here also, and this is really the bigger question. And that is that, do we believe that someone who's endowed with, let's call it Das Torah, can be wrong on a judgment call? Meaning, maybe the fact that, you know, the presumption that I'm making, that he's just making a terrible judgment, maybe that really depends who he is. Maybe if he's really such a great Talmud Chacham, I have to say that, no, it's not a wrong judgment. He must be right, and I must be seeing things wrong. Because someone, how could Das Torah be wrong? Is there such an inyan that someone who's endowed with this level of Torah knowledge can make a mistake? I had a conversation with a rabbinic colleague who's not from our yeshiva in the neighborhood, and I was arguing with him about some of the restrictions because I thought he wasn't being strict enough, and I said you have to be moda that everyone who stayed open that first week after Purim, and tell you the truth, Even all of those who didn't shut down until after Purim, because we didn't understand the situation, we made a mistake. If we would have shut down a week earlier, there's no doubt we would have saved lives. No doubt. We made a mistake. So I said, you have to admit the doctors made a mistake. The Das Torah made a mistake. Everyone was wrong. And he said, where I come from, you're not even allowed to think that, let alone say that. That the Das Torah made a mistake? How could you say such a thing? That was the end of the conversation, because then we lost all common ground, meaning I just made myself an apikores. Because how could you say that the Das Torah was wrong? Are you allowed to say that the Das Torah is wrong? So it's a fascinating discussion. What exactly is Das Torah? The concept doesn't really exist in Chazal. But let's say Emunas Chachamim. That's a concept that exists, right? So what is Emunas Chachamim, and to what degree does it go? There was in his Sefer on Tznius, Rav Pesach Eliyahu Falk, who passed away recently, writes that in his English Sefer on Tznius, that which Poskim cannot prove from an explicit source is decided upon by a thought process which has been finely tuned and refined by tens of thousands of hours of Torah study, and with elderly Talmidei Chacham, even hundreds of thousands of hours, which enables them to perceive where the pure truth lies. This process is called Das Torah, an opinion born out of Torah thought. Their thought process has not been affected by secular and non-Jewish ways of thinking. So it's modes of thought that are pure, that are pristine. But even Rabbi Falk is only talking about poskim, that when poskim are paskening a halacha. But what if poskim are dealing with a medical issue and they have insufficient knowledge of the medicine? Or do we say, Soda Shemli Reyav, that our Kodesh Baruch Hu gives his secrets to those who fear him, and therefore, of course, they have knowledge of medicine. How could they not? If they know Kala Torah Kula, then they have to know everything. So Rabbi Falk does not deal with that, because that wasn't his context. He was talking about matters of tznius, where maybe things aren't black and white, but poskim have certain approaches to things. Then there was an article written by Rabbi Avi Shafran, the spokesperson for the Aguda, where he tried to explain Das Torah as well, and this goes a little bit further. And he writes, Das Torah is not some Jewish equivalent to the Catholic doctrine of papal infallibility. Meaning, it's not that the Pope can't be wrong, that a human is infallible. Not only can rabbis make mistakes of judgment, there's an entire tractate of the Talmud, Horios, predicated on the assumption that they can, that even the Sanhedrin is capable of erring, even in halachic matters. What Das Torah means, simply put, is that those most imbued with Torah knowledge, and who have internalized to a large degree of the perfection of values and refinement of character that the Torah idealizes, are thereby rendered particularly, indeed extraordinarily, qualified to offer an authentic Jewish perspective. So far, so good, right? Meaning Torah gives a person tremendous knowledge and the ability to see things from a Jewish point of view. And then he has one more phrase. On matters of import to Jews. Now, if I was finishing that sentence, I would say on matters of halacha, on matters of hashkafas haTorah, on matters of it, my health is important to me, but do I go to a doctor or do I go to a rabbi when I have a health issue? Certainly to get a bracha and tefillos from a rabbi, but to actually get advice on how to handle it. He then writes, you know, just as expert doctors are those most qualified, though still fallible to be sure, to offer medical advice. So too, on matters of interest or import to Jews. Rav Lichtenstein, Zichron Levracha, also spoke about Das Torah. It's a beautiful essay in Leaves of Faith in his essays. And I'll just take one little paragraph that he discusses whether, you know, the idea that Torah certainly, and we do believe this, I think any Torah Jew believes, that Torah certainly refines a person's way of thinking, makes a person closer to the Ribono Shel Olam, and therefore, at least, sharpens his mind and makes him more spiritually attuned, if learned right. So Rav Lichtenstein writes, I find the alternative view, that Gedolei Torah are professional experts whose authority and wisdom can ordinarily be regarded as confined to the area of their technical proficiency, simply inconceivable. That you're going to say that, they learned Yaredeya, so that's what they have their degree in. Their degree is in Yaredeya, so they only know Yaredeya. Inconceivable, he says. Our abiding historical faith in the efficacy of Torah as a pervasive, ennobling, informing, and enriching force dictates adoption of the concept of Das Torah in some form or measure. So we all agree on certain basics, right? We all agree that if you have a health question, you need to ask a doctor. And we all agree that Emunas Chachamim means that you trust him in more than the Yaredeya that he learned. That it means more than that. So those are basic premise that everyone agrees. The question is, to what degree in the gray area would you go to Talmidei Chachamim? It seems, I don't know where my colleagues, the colleague that I mentioned before, where his hashkafa comes from. That Das Torah cannot be wrong. That you can't think such a thing nor say such a thing. Especially when there was conflicting Das Torah. Meaning there were great Talmidei Chachamim that were right at the time, and that said, it could be that he didn't recognize that as Das Torah. You know, it's only a Rav Herschel Schechter. It wasn't someone with a longer coat. But it could be that when there often is conflicting Das Torah. So of course Das Torah can sometimes be off or be mistaken. So I'm not sure where that hashkafa comes from. It doesn't seem, meaning I certainly understand that there are those who view it more broadly. I think part of this issue is whether we view the whole question as a question of halacha or as a question of health. I think that's really where the break comes. That if you view this as a question of halacha that's educated by health, then certainly it belongs in the realm of rabbis who have consulted with doctors. But if you view this as a question of health, because there's no halachic shaila over here, if you might be killing someone, you can't do it. That's not a shaila, right? There's no halachic question. It's just a question of health, and rabbis just happen to have the ear of the community, and sometimes when effective, are able to explain things to people and are very good, you know, better at hasbara and better at mobilizing people and hopefully inspiring people, but they're really just getting the message of the doctors across about what's safe and what's healthy. Well, then it doesn't belong in the realm of the rabbis. So it doesn't even seem to be really so much about the hashkafic divide as it is about how to even view this entire situation. And you can understand that there are different people that would view things in different ways. Now, on the other issue, which we didn't get a chance to discuss, if we were to view this as a blatant avera, as a blatant sin, so there is a sugya in Meseches Moed Katan and Meseches Chagiga about the kind of rabbanim that one is supposed to try to learn Torah from. The Gemara tells us, "My katan daf yudzayin amralv kiv sifse kohen yishmeru das v'toru yavakshu mipiu ki malach Hashem tzvakosu," which the Gemara darshins, "im doma harav l'malach Hashem yavakshu toru mipiv." V'imlav al yavakshu toru mipiv. If you view the rabbi as being flippant about human life, or you view the rabbi as being obnoxious or haughty or arrogant, then you cannot be mevakish Torah, even not psak halacha Torah, from such a person. One has to view the Rebbe as someone who has refined midos and worthy of being mevakish Torah mipiv, even if he's a great baki and a great expert. The Gemara in Chagiga tells the story of Acher and how Reb Meir continued to learn from Acher even after Acher committed averos. So the Gemara asks that question: how is he allowed to do that? After all, isn't that a blatant violation of the Gemara that we just read? And the Gemara says, "Nah, haba gadol haba katan." That when you're Reb Meir, you'll know how to sort out what's what. But for the rest of us, in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, in Yardeas, in Resh Mem Vav, when it quotes this halacha, the Shulchan Aruch says that straight out, Harav she'eno holech b'derech tova, afal pi shechacham gadol hu, v'kol ha'am tzrichim lo, even though he may be the only expert in certain areas of halacha, and everyone needs his psak, ein lemeidin menu ad she'yachso lemutav. You cannot learn from him until he does tshuva, until the person does tshuva. So this is a... And he doesn't make any qualification of you being a gadol or not being a gadol. So this is a complicated and fascinating area of halacha. I think in this case, I do think that many of these rabbanim who are making such a clear and obvious error in judgment, and it's not just me saying that, it's obviously dozens and dozens of rabbanim. It's 95% of the rabbanim in the community who understand what's going on in the community, and every doctor we've spoken to. I think in such a case, you can at least say, don't go for a psak halacha. To be a mora hara'a, one has to have better judgment than that. Is the person a rasha? Do we treat him the same as someone who, who abused children or is messing around with women, who stole money? Do we view them the same? I don't know if you can view them the same, because at least in their minds, they didn't do any avera. Meaning when someone abuses children, when someone steals money, they know that they're doing an avera, and they can't control their yetzer hara got the best of them, but they know that they're doing an avera. This person, these people think they're doing the greatest mitzvah. So it's hard to say that it's a rasha lahachis, that there's some sort of rishus over here, or even l'teyavon, but to say that the person clearly lacks judgment and a perception of the situation, as, someone asked me how things are going recently. I said, I hit a great milestone at some point over the past few days, where for the first time in recent memory, no one I know died in the last 72 hours. And then the streak was broken, hoping for another 72 hours, then another to keep on going, Mir Tzashem. But that's the kind of situation we're in. So to have such a lack of judgment and say, it's not so serious, it doesn't really. I mean, it's just it's mind-boggling. So that mind-boggling lack of judgment is something that I think would puzzle someone as a posek, even if it wouldn't necessarily turn them into a rasha. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos, a wonderful evening, and we should talk about happier things. Be'ezras Hashem. Have a good night.